Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Daryl. My name is Hongwei San, just like Daryl mentioned. I'm with protocol documentation support team. And basically, our main task is to assist the licensee on customers to use Microsoft Open Protocol documentation to develop the interoperability solutions with Microsoft Windows. So basically, the question come to our team can be anything related to the document, such as missing information, incorrect and behavior explained in the document. You see any behavior which is not in the document. And at the same time, you always supply us the technical information. And using all those technical information, we go through the window implementation, work with the product team, and get your issue resolved. And today, my topic is to cover some tool and techniques we normally use to do the troubleshooting and debugging with Windows. And I think for some of you, you know, all these tools might not be something new, and I hope this will be helpful for other people who are working on a non-window platform. You know, it might add some value, and these tools might be able to help you to find out what's really going on inside the Windows, and also at the same time can help us as a developer support team as well as a product team to understand what is really going on by looking at the information you provide and to get the issue resolved more efficiently. Okay, so let's get started. So I will go through the overview about the presentation, and I'm going to talk about several tools and utilities, and one of them is a Windows user and a kernel mode debug. It's called WinDBG. I think this is a primary debug in the Windows platform used for the user mode application as well as device driver development. And the next one will be another debug utility, capturing utility called time travel tracing, which is similar to some type of a profiling. Basically, it allow us to capture the call execution in a certain time frame, and then it allow us to replay it later. So it's kind of a simulate a live debugging. So this is a very powerful, very useful utility for us to work with the customer. And the next one will be the ETW tracing, which is a some kind of a standard window tracing facility that is being used by the most current Windows OS. And I'm also going through some publicly available tools in Windows Resource Toolkit as well as Sys Internals Toolkit. Sys Internal used to be a separate company which developed some very popular, very useful tools, and now they are part of Microsoft. The Sys internal tools are available from TechNet, Microsoft TechNet website. At the end, I will go through some demonstration. Mainly, it's about the debugging using the WinDBG. I will show you a couple of examples. With the WinDBG, you can look at the Windows APIs that are related to the protocol with just a public symbol, you know, without any knowledge about the Windows implementation details. So you basically can check to see what is passed into the API and what is returned from API. That can be really helpful for the, you know, for the troubleshooting the protocol related issues. Okay, so okay, as an overview, normally when we work with a protocol issue, most of a protocol related issue we can resolve by analyzing the network trace, And because, for instance, for the SMB and SMB2, you can always check the request and the response between client and the server by looking at the network trace. So the first tool we use always a network trace. So Microsoft has a NetMon. It was covered in yesterday's presentation. So, but in some case, the network trace might be not be enough. Something like window behaviors, you know, it's not reflected on the wire. So, and also, let's say sometime the network packet is encrypted, so you are not going to see anything from the network trace. So, in this case, the deep investigation requires some some other set of toolkits. So, we are going to show some of the toolkits in this presentation, and. As far as Microsoft support, normally we always, if customer reports certain issues such as a hang up and a program crash, they got a blue screen, we always ask them to submit, you know, if possible, always ask them to submit the memory dump for us to do the post-mortem the debugging. And also sometimes we also conduct the live debugging through the remote session. You know, basically ask a customer to give us a permission to run a live debugging. And in our case, in our protocol support case, sometimes memory dump might not be enough. You know, it doesn't provide us, sometimes program is not crashing. You know, it's not give us enough information. And also, in most of the case, live debugging, remote live debugging might not also be an option because some other restriction, some security restriction from the customer doesn't allow us to run the live debugging. So that's where the time travel tracing come into the picture. So we will go through that later. And next option is always the logging and the tracing. So Windows has a very extensive logging, very sophisticated logging and tracing. And ETW is one of them. And actually, right now, ETW is the most widely used in the latest OS. And we will go through that in the presentation later, too. OK, so now let's start looking at all those tools. The first one is the Windows Debug, WinDBG, which is a debugging tool. It's most commonly used Windows debug tool, debugging tool in for custom issues in Windows platform. It started with as a kernel debugger, and it later expanded to cover the user mode debugging. It has a very rich feature set. It can do the kernel debug and the user debug, and do live, of course, a live kernel and the user debugging. And also, it can allow the customer to capture the memory dump, forced to capture memory dump. It can analyze a memory dump. And also, with a public symbol, it can provide a very reliable information about your core stacks and give you a ways to look into the execution of the process. So this public symbol is available in the Microsoft server symbol site. So you can just, in your debug, you can just linking your symbol pass to the Microsoft site. And this public symbol is available and periodically updated to include all the windows, all the window versions. And also, this WinDebugger is also a foundation for the time travel tracing we are using to do the live debugging. Basically, time travel tracing is just another debug extension. So actually, if you are doing some device driver development, I'm pretty sure you are very familiar with Windows debugs because this is their main debugging tools. As far as SMB and SMB2, you can debug all these remote file system components using the window debugs. And Some examples of the user mode process are in LSA, which handles all the security related logon, remote logon, and workstation, LAN-MAN workstation, and a LAN-MAN server, which are SMB, basically client and a server. And also, you can break into the SMB driver. One of them is a redirector, mini redirector, MRX SMB, which is a device driver for the client side, as well as the server side, the server and the server too. So basically, I will show you the example later in the demonstration. Basically, you just break in for the user mode. You just find your process in the process list, and then attach to the process. For the kernel mode, you will break it, run a kernel mode, a debug mode, and then it will basically break into the kernel. So, any questions so far? Okay. So next thing I'm going to talk about is time travel tracing. This time of tracing is extension of a WinDBG, which allows you to monitor and capture the event activities done by a process, in a defined time frame. Basically, you can just start capturing, duplicate the behavior, and then stop capturing. All the trace captured will contain all the information about your call execution, your instructions. With those trace, we can replay your, actually, the, just like run a post live debugging. So basically, we can replay, we can both go forward, go backward to look at all the stacks, just like we are sitting in the front of your machine doing all the debugging. So the advantage of that is eliminate the need for us to run the remote live debugging. Especially when we work with non-window platform solutions, it is very difficult to set up the environment to duplicate the behavior. And also sometimes, just like I said, remote live debugging is also not easy to do. And with this, you can just capture the trace and send it to us, and then we can, open that in the WinDBG and then go from there. So as far as this tracing feature, this is only for the user mode debugging. So far, it's only for user mode debugging. It can record all the call execution for a process for a given time frame. And also, it allows us to replay the trace as if it's in the real time. And also, this one can be, offers a lot of advantages when we help debugging the Windows interoperability behaviors without the need to reproduce the problem or do some remote live debugging. Next one I'm going to cover is how to capture TTT trace. Actually, from your side, it's very simple. Microsoft provides you a public session capture utilities. And it's just a command line program. And you find the process ID of the process you are interested in, and then just start the capture by issuing the attach command, and then also use a dump for. So basically, it gives us all the information. And you will see the I'm using the TTT trace for the debugging session later. So you can see the power of this utility. And also, you can, after you start capturing, you can reproduce the problem. Once you finish reproducing the problem, you can uncheck a button in the screen, because whenever you start the TTT trace, it will start a capture screen. So you can click uncheck the trace on checkbox, and then close the capture dialog. The out file and the run file will be automatically created. So, and then you send this out file and a run file to us, we will see everything.
I was curious what version
I think it supports the. I'm sorry. The question is, which window versions support this TTT trace? And I think it supports all of the Windows OS. It's Windows OS independent. I never try on, let's say, NT4, but I used on XP and 2003 server, 2008, the Vista, and Win7. It's pretty reliable. Okay, the question is a debugging extension available publicly? And the answer is, at this moment, no. We provide the capture utility to the customer for them to capture the trace. We will run the debug. At this moment, if you know, nothing changes, at this moment, the answer is no. WinDBG. The question is, if a WinDBG captured the multiple processor? Yes, definitely. Yeah, right. It can be replaced. It will show the entire process tree and thread tree. You can switch between processor. You can switch between the thread. Yeah. This is just like a normal WinDBG debugging. It allows you to see the full the stack related to each thread, as well as you can see all the processes. You can switch between the processor and the thread on the fly. Yes. There's a, and also the nice thing about the WinDBG, you can develop the extension to that. There's a lot of extension developed by the different group within the Microsoft, also outside of Microsoft.
Hongwei, could you take an opportunity, since you brought it up, asking about deadlocks, for example, and explain that even aside from TTT, how you would debug deadlock issues with WinDBG? In fact, anybody could do that portion, right?
Yeah. There's a debug, actually, and I don't know if I'm able to cover the entire length from a presentation, but the nice thing is I can show you for the DBG, there's a very nice help file which covered all these scenarios, you know, and offer the very detailed instructions as well as all the tips. I can show you quickly just for...
Before you move on, so if I buy a Visual Studio license, do I have a TTT?
No, TTT capture, we can send it to you as you are the customer working with them. We will send you the TTT trace, the capture utility. The extension for the WinDBG is not available publicly. But WinDBG itself, it's available through Microsoft website. It has a full version. It's a free. It's available publicly. Yeah. So go ahead.
The other thing we should mention is you had talked about the Windows debugging trace facility. And although the time travel trace is currently being developed and provided to you in this way, there are other tools like Hongwei. For many years now, we've provided the Windows trace facility. That's all public. You can implement all of that in your code with Visual Studio. Right, but there are other tools we can get into that another time. Visual Studio has a whole set of tools for tracing and performance analysis in the team suite. So, I mean, this is just one evolutionary process. It's currently enabled for support specifically.
Yeah, that's a whole topic today. We should say how you can, you know, supply the information to us. How can we work together to get the issue resolved quickly? And also, you mentioned the Visual Studio debug. That's another debug, another option. You know, you can most people when they are using the Visual Studio to develop application, they might prefer to use a DBG the debugger within the Visual Studio. So, okay. So also, yeah, let me show the. Yeah, this is a WinDBG help information. It has all the debugging techniques, techniques, and what's very comprehensive. Okay, so, and we will see the TDD trace in the demonstration later. Okay, and the next one is, Daryl also mentioned the TDW tracing. This is a Microsoft tracing facility widely used by the Windows OS. And before, if you recall, sometime we might need you to install a check builder version of DLLs or window components in order for us to capture some logging or tracing information. And right now with the ETW tracing, there's no eliminated need for that. For the older version of the OS, for certain components, we still might still need the check builder. But for the latest version of OS, like especially from Vista in 2008, Win 7, ETW is a standard. Oh, sorry.
And what does ETW stand for again?
Event tracing. Event tracing for Windows.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Another is a software event tracing for Windows. Yeah. Okay. So. And ETW tracing is available in the user mode and kernel mode components. And has been adopted by the file system components very early. That is even available in the 2003 for the redirector and server-side components. And the way it works, I just give a brief, very brief description. For the way it works, it has an event provider. Basically, it's a source of the information. And each window component has its own event provider. Event provider is identified by a grid. And event provider is registered with ETW use a unique grid. You know, for instance, SMB client has its own grid, and server has its own grid, and Kerberos, NTLM, all this thing has its own unique event provider. And the event provider registers with ETW, and then there's a ETW event controller called the controller that's a capturing utility, which controls the start and stop of the event tracing. The nice thing about ETW tracing is that can be dynamically configured and dynamically start and stop. With a check builder, sometimes even it's controlled by the registry key, you cannot turn on and off without rebooting the system or restarting the certain service or component. But with ETW, you can dynamically start and stop and the certain event called event capture session. And each session can be configured by the different flag and a different debug level. And basically, an ETW trace is controlled by the grid. It can have multiple event providers. So let's say if you want to, you can define a user-defined event capture session and add multiple event provider into the session. So let's say if you are interested on the SMB, and then you can put the SMB client and anything related to the Kerberos and NTLM, multiple event provider into one session. And then you can control start and stop the session. And then the trace will be, and also you can control where to output the event trace. After you capture the logo file through the ETW trace, we can decode the event trace using some private TMF file. Basically, it's like a symbol, like our private symbol. Without those TMF file, they are just binary stream. It's not very meaningful. So the normal procedure is a customer capture the ETW either through the command line or through the window performance monitor, and then send the trace to us. We decoding against our private TMM file, and then to get the text file for the tracing. So, and then we can analyze, work together to analyze the window behavior, and also we can show to the product team the behavior they are looking for. And I can give some examples of one of the typical event trace log, how that looks like. Okay, this is a Kerberos trace log. So you can get this trace just by using the performance monitor on using the trace log capture utilities. It will give you all the information about the flow within the Kerberos package. And also, I think a more interesting will be the SMB. Yeah, this is a SMB, one of the example of the SMB trace. This is about the client. So it has all different component from MAP, from the MRX SMB device driver that can show you all the, you know, all the detailed information about the window internal logic.
So with the tracing utility,
I can get this output, is it? No, this one, you will send us a trace log. I'm sorry. The question is, with the trace capture utility, can we get the output like this? The question is, you can capture the trace, and we have to decode for you. But we can work with you. You can see this text file.
This is decoded after this
entity by. Yeah, we have to decode it. Yeah, decode against our private symbol, similar to private symbol. It's a called TMF file. But, yeah.
How do you know the version?
It's automatically. Okay, the question is, I have to repeat the question. How you know the version we are running? Because whenever you send us a trace, and you have to tell us which version you are running, and so we will run against the certain set of TMF file, just like private symbol. We have to know which version of operating system you are running. Because for different operating system, they are different. The symbols are different. Yeah. Any more questions? Okay, I think we are behind a little bit. Okay, so this is ETW. And how to capture ETW trace? I'm just going through that quickly. It should be fairly straightforward. So you can two options. You can use a trace log. .exe or logman.exe, they are available through the window resource toolkit. And basically, when you are using the tracelog, the command line tool, you have to know the grid, because each event provider is identified by a unique grid. So we will tell you the grid. Let's say if you are interested in the Kerberos, or you want to use SMB client on NTLM, and then we will tell you the grid. And just like I said, for each session, you can have a multiple event providers configured. So within that text file, you can put the multiple grid. And you start capturing, and you duplicate your.
How is it different from the other utility you mentioned?
The other one is, the question is, what is the difference between this trace log and with the TTT log capturing? The TTT trace is a capture of your core execution. So basically allows to do the debugging later. So this is just like a profiling tool. So this one is a logging capturing tool. So Windows, basically, if you enable this event tracing and you enable this event provider, Windows is constantly output the log into the kernel components. So within this, you can turn on and off that event tracing. So this is basically for the logging and the tracing. The other one is for the debugging. So they are different type of applications. Have you ever used ETW tracing before? Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. So this is basically all the developer, they give the debugging statement, the tracing statement in their code. And there's a nice thing, just like I say, you don't need to put the customize the check builder version of the component into the system. And also for the this is very high performance and a low overhead utility. So basically the impact on the performance is very minimal. And also you can turn on and off dynamically. Now the other option is use the data collect center in performance monitor. So this one is just like a graphic user interface. This one is like you're running script files. So we already see some of the logo samples, event logo samples. Okay, this is an example of some of the event providers that are related to the SMB and SMB2. For example, for NTLM and SSP, it has this grid, and the Kerberos has this grid, and the LSA has that grid. And also, I also list here the client and the server for the SMB. Okay, next I'm going to go through quickly some tools in the Windows Resource Toolkit. Windows Resource Toolkit is Microsoft tools which ship with which is publicly available through the Microsoft website. So you can some of the tools are very useful, can give you an idea what your environment are, and also help you do the administration management tasks, and also can help you troubleshooting the operating system issues, such as managing the Active Directory, configure your network and security features, and also help you automate your deployment. Okay, some of the tools, some of relate to the file sharing can be, you know, server info. You can give a remote server name. They will tell you about the remote server, what version is running, what features installed. You know, this is just the, you know, very nice tool. And a server check, and also one of the is called a server check. You can run against a remote server, and it will display the how many shares on that server and who has access and what type of access for each user group. And also when you are working with Kerberos, we have a tool called a K-list, which will show you the Kerberos ticket in your machine, as well as including the TGT ticket and the service ticket. And also you can use a K-list to purge your ticket cache. And a system utility tools, internal utilities are the right now system internals are part of Microsoft. They have a lot of popular and very nice tools, which are widely used by the Windows developers or Windows users. And the utilities for troubleshooting and diagnosing the Windows normally we use, including some, you know, FireMount, DismMount. And FireMount, DismMount now combined into called a process monitor. So this is a main tool we use. I can show you an example later quickly. So that is very nice. It shows you all the activities within the a process. You can start capturing and end capturing. It will show you from the window. A system point of view, what API issued, what command going through to the file system, and also you can monitor in the file system, registry, and a network, you know, and also can do certain profiling. That's very nice tool. And a Process Explorer, it's some type of just like a task manager, but it's much more than task manager. It can show you the process and the all the process running on each the processes and the sub processes which within the process. And also, it has some very nice security utilities, such as access check. Basically, the access check can allow you to get the access of a user group on, get access of a certain user and a group on a certain file in a directory. It's just a nice little tool. So if you want to check who has a privilege, what kind of privilege on certain file, local or remote, so you can use this tool. And another one is a logon session. And you can run this program to see how many sessions currently opened on your user session. You were surprised to see there's a lot of them, especially when you are in a domain.
So does it show user name and group, or it just shows SID?
Yes, yeah.
So what do you mean, yes? So it shows username and group, or it just uses the SID?
Okay, the question is for the access check, what information it showed? It just show user ID, it showed the username.
Username,
right. It doesn't show the SID. Okay. Yeah, right. And again, these tools is available publicly in the sys internal tools. I really recommend you to look at certain tools. They do a wonderful job to develop those tools. And we already covered this process monitor. Basically, it's a tool monitoring the real-time file system, registry, process, and thread activities. And this program combines the features of a FileMon and a RegMon. FileMon is a monitoring for the file system. RegMon is a monitoring of the registry. Now they will combine them together. And it has very rich filtering features. You can say which process I want to monitoring, and you can provide the process ID, you can provide the process name, you can provide the, I will show you the quick demonstration. It's very powerful. And it also provides you the full thread stack. And also, if you have a symbol, you can set up a symbol, so you always see all the stack information for the each thread. And it also can simultaneously log into a file. So we can take a look at this. This is a very powerful tool. Okay, so next one, we are going to demonstrate a live debugging using the WinDBG. The scenario I show here is actually is a SMB pass-through authentication. And the API we are going to debug is a netlogon RPC. Basically, in this case, I have a client machine called a client 08, and I have another client machine but acting like a server. It's called a client 07, and I have they are all in the domain. The domain control is DC08. So client 08 tried to access server using a domain account and using the IP address. So it will fall back to use NTLM instead of a Kerberos. So I can show you the trace corresponding to this scenario. Okay, this is a typical SMB trace. It start with negotiate, and after negotiate, it started doing the session setup with NTLM used, and this is client 08. Client send the session setup to negotiate the message to the client. This is the server, actually. Client 07 is server. And server send the challenge back to the client, and then client respond. And then now the server open a security channel to do the remote RPC to the remote logon service on the DC. So this is a RPC binding. And we will see, this is a call we are interested in, called a net logon, same logon with flex. This is one of the pass-through logon calls, RPC calls. And when we look at this net logon RPC call, we will see this payload is encrypted because the security channel has been established. So we are not going to get any information out of this trace. Basically, we don't know what parameter we provide and what the return. And also, if you're looking at the response, it's also encrypted. So basically, we don't see anything from this trace. We just know there's a pass-through authentication call to the net logon service is made. Okay, so now we can run some in
I have a very quick question.
Okay.
The terminology, the term pass-through may have changed its meaning, but pass-through authentication a long time, and I'm focused on the old stuff anyway, but the term pass-through used to mean this format where the client would talk to the server and the server would fake being the client to a domain controller or some other device.
Yeah. The term, okay, the question is, the Chris question is, the terminology for the pass-through, basically you're asking for the terminology for the pass-through authentication, right?
Right, has it changed? Is that
basically, my terminology now, I'm following we have a documentation called NLMP, so basically about the NTLM authentication within the domain environment.
Okay, so what do we now call that old form of pass-through?
This is called a generic pass-through. If you look at an RPC document, basically what now is you got the challenging from the response for the challenging from the client, and you forward your challenging to the server for server to authenticate for DC to authenticate. Yeah.
I know how this works. I just want to know what to call the other kind of authentication, the other kind of pass-through authentication.
I cannot remember on the top of my head, but this is called a generic. Do you have anything to follow?
Are you looking for the term of impersonation?
Is that what it's called?
I think that's another.
IIS uses that, for example, impersonation.
The old Windows 98, the Windows 98 box was a server, but it was not in a. Well, I mean, there was a domain controller. You would attempt to log into the Windows 98 box. It would impersonate you logging into the
actually
system.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
NRPC actually net logon has remained very similar. This since what Hongwei is actually talking about is NTLM.
NTLM actually this one can be not only NTLM. Yeah.
It can yeah APDS can support more, but in this case you're using NTLM, but it hasn't actually changed much since those days, so it is actually the same thing that you're referring to.
No, this is different.
No, this is different.
Yeah.
No, this is different.
This
is not the same.
Right. Yeah.
There are different protocols, but using NRPC and NTLM, this concept, now that protocol that he was showing, secure RPC, is new.
Right, called the secure channel.
Secure RPC. It's still a different mechanism than what we used to call pass-through.
What? You're using
because Chris, actually, we can
show you the document.
Yeah. Chris, we can discuss this offline because the main purpose here, I just want to show the debugging of this NRPC course.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very interested to. we can go through this offline.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then you can, you don't see anything from network trace, but you can go to the, you know this function call, you know the RPC interface, and then you can go to the document. Look at the interface for this document. It has certain parameters, and also it has returns. And in this case, you might be interested to see what you passed into this function call. But that information is not available through network trace. So now let's look at the debugging. I might have to run quickly. Okay, so this is a WinDBG. Basically, I already loaded the TTT trace into this debug session. Okay, so you can use LM to list all the processes, all the components, modules, called the modules associated with this the process. And also you will see, I already set up the public symbol, PDB symbol. You can set up your symbols through the symbol pass here. I set to the symbol to, I downloaded the public symbol into my local machine because the public symbol server is pretty slow. So if you want to, in order to have a good demonstration, so I first downloaded the public symbol into my local machine and then point the symbol pass to that local folder. So basically in this folder, it has a public symbols. And once you set up a pass symbol, you can reload all the module, so the symbolic information will be loaded. And by doing this, I can do, this is a TTT trace, so I can make sure I go back to the beginning of the trace. Okay, so here I go back to the beginning of the trace, it says start of a trace. And then, right now you are interested on that function. So we can inspect the symbol by doing this. And then we know that function is called netlogon and same. Okay. I think I already set up here. So basically, first of all, you can use X to inspect symbol, find this function. So this is a function we are interested in, called netlogon same logon with flex, which is showing the network trace. So we are interested in this function. So then we set up a breakpoint. We set up a breakpoint at the beginning of this function. Okay, and then we execute. Okay, so now we hit this breakpoint. Where are we? We are at the beginning of this function. So basically, we will see the input parameter to this function. So where are we going to see the input parameter to this function? We have to inspect the stacker. So from this documentation, we know there's a 10 parameters. Okay, so let me run that quickly. This is basically the stackers. So this is basically a stacker, and then we will see the parameter. This is the parameter. Okay, I can take a check a certain something quickly. Inspect a couple of parameters. This is the second parameter, and this is the address. Okay, we will see this is a DC08 mixed. This is a machine name. And if we're looking at the, if we look at this function call, we see this is a computer name. So now we see all the information in the memory. And also, by doing the same thing, we can check the next parameter. Okay, now here is a client machine name. This is a server nation. The second one, I think, is within the authenticate, the name. And also, this is a 06, if we will look at, is a logon level. Basically, this logon level, if you look at all this information, basically it will tell you the logon information class. If you look at here, 6, that means network transitive information. So this is net logon call. So, and also, by looking at this, we know parameter number 9 and number 10 are the outer parameters. So we are now in the beginning of the execute function. We want to set a point at exit of the function. So by that time, we can inspect the return parameters. So I already set up the way you are going to find the return of a function. Normally, I don't know if we have enough time here. So I'm just do the unassembly. Because now we are in the beginning of function, we just do the unassembly, just with a little bit of knowledge about the assembly. So you can find the where the function is returned. Okay, we will see the function is returned here. So it has a return IET, that's where the function returned. So we set a breakpoint before that. And I already did that. So I set the breakpoint before that. And now if we execute, the second breakpoint will hit. I cannot hear you very well. You are. Oh, yeah. That's why I already, the operator's point is when you are doing this, the time travel tracing is not necessary. Here, I'm just using pre-recorded session to do a demonstration. When you are real debugging the program, you will run live debugging against the real process. Okay, so here we are now in the exit of the function. So with this, we can inspect the stack again, and also we already know the memory location of the exit parameters. Okay, let me see. Okay, now you can inspection the stacker, and it will tell you this is the stacker. Oh, this is a register, and you can display the raw stacker. Use this command. 10. So this command will tell you the exit parameters. Okay. So here, let's say this is number 6. Number 6 is number 8. Let's see. Okay. Here we are displaying the raw stacker. We are more interested here on the parameter 9 and 10. So if we look at the this is a big function, so it's a little bit confusing when you look in the stacker. But remember, this is a 64-bit processor. So actually, stacker is a 64-bit. So it has 8 bytes. So by counting the correct memory address, you will see the 9 and the 10 is the output value, which is extra flags and authoritative the value. So if you are looking at this here, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So by looking at this, we know this is a 6. 6 is a logging level here. So validation will be the next. Validation level is a 6, so next one will be the validation info is also output information. This is the information. This is called validation information returned from DC, which contains the membership information of the authentic. Basically, the result of your authentication, including the membership seat of your membership, all this type of information. You can see all the compare this memory structure against the documentation. Any question? Ah, okay. All right. So this is just an example. But remember, now I'm using public symbol, so you don't need any knowledge about the window internals. So you just need a public symbol and a little bit of knowledge about the assembly. Of course, with public symbol, you don't have a type information, you don't have a private variable. But with a little bit of assembly knowledge, you can check what is passed into the window function and what is returned from window function. And some of those information are not available in the network trace. So.
So why you cannot display using variable name? I mean, your symbolic file doesn't have that recorded.
That's taken out from a public symbol. In a private symbol, yes. Okay, the question is why I cannot display the memory name, a variable name, right? My question is with a public symbol, I can send you the link about the public Microsoft symbol server. It has an explanation about the difference between a public symbol and a private symbol. For the public symbol, it allows you to inspect the stack, but it doesn't provide all the detailed information about the private variables. So. But my whole point here is with this public symbol, and you can do something to help you to debug the protocol behavior problem. Any questions about this? Okay, so I think. Yeah, and also my whole point is using this documentation, because all the API information is available in this documentation. Okay, so next thing is, I'm just going quickly with event trace capturing. I'm just going to give you a quick, it's very easy to understand. Just like I said, you can use a am I behind time? Okay. Okay. So for the event tracing, you can use command line tools, the trace log, and also you can use this graphical user interface to capture the ETW trace. I can show you one thing. Here, you can come here, say, create the ETW session, say new. And you can give any name, let's say SMB2. Oh. Now you can select, say, hey, what kind of information I need. This is a registered event trace. Normally the thing you are interested in, including let me see the remote file system log and also you might be interested in the Kerberos security. Let me look at where is this Kerberos. Yeah, Kerberos. Okay, so you can have a multiple event mode. And also, you can set up the keyword. They use a terminology here called keyword. Actually, it's a flag, similar to the flag in the trace log. So you can add it to say, what type of information I want. I want anything related to the logon. I want anything related to the KDC. I want to relate to anything related to the time within the ticket, or I want to, you know, you can pick up anything you want. So it will come up like a flag here. So basically, this just give you an interface to configure the event tracing. Okay, once you say I'm finished, it will have a trace here. So you can have, say, start. It will start the logging. And if you finished, you can say I stop. So this is just give you a user interface. And also another thing is you can specify where to output your trace. So, and also you can do a lot of other things, how you are going to start the trace and how you stop the trace. All right, so the other thing is I like to show you quickly is a process monitor. Okay, let me drag the window here. Okay, so this is a process monitor. So basically, you can say which, first of all, you can, there's a filter, you can reset filter, so basically it will capture everything. It will show you all the file activities, registry activities, and the network activities. You can filter all of them. You say, I only worry about the file system activity, so it will show you only the file system activity. I want to only show the network activity on the registry activity. You know, it will, you can filter like that. And also, you can debug each individual process. Like WinWord, you can debug each process. And also, it will show you what is in this process. This is a water program. And also, it can show you the stacker. This is what I'm talking about. With a public symbol, you can show all these stacks. What module has been called, and here it's showing, you know, calling the to the kernel. So, and here you can say start capture and end capture. So whenever you want to capture certain behavior, you can say start capture, and then when you are done with that, you can stop capture. So this is very powerful tool for you to work with Windows. So any questions? Now I think I'm sorry, I'm behind a little bit. Okay, so any question? I hope the information I give here will be help you to, you know, work with, help you to work with us better in the future. Yeah. Thank you very much.
One question that you might have is with regard to AD, and Hongwei mentioned the number of the GUIDs that do apply, and ADSI and LDAP are traced with the same functionality, the ETW tracing, as of Windows 2008 on the server. So if you look back at the presentation done by Hongwei's teammate, Richard, that was provided during the AD Plugfest. It's recorded and it's available on channel9.msdn.com. So that has a little bit more information that focuses on the AD aspect, but similar.
Right.
Similar
today tools. I try to correlate to the SMB and the file system more. So
correct.
That's why I pick up the pass-through. But any RPC interface, basically you can debug the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
So consider these presentations to be complementary and focused a little bit differently on the different parts of Windows for debugging.
Thank you very much.